start with jokes and I forgot all about them, y'all. I'm so sorry. We'll leave that to the next person.
You want to start with what?
A couple jokes.
Oh, darn it.
I didn't think of it. Well, we don't want those. Oh, gosh. I guess if I had a title for my message, I would say, "For Such a Time as This." You know, I'm a firm believer that God doesn't make mistakes. How many believe that with me? Yeah. So if you're here at this time on planet Earth, you have been chosen by God to be fully engaged in what he wants to do during this time, right? It's already been put inside of you. It's inside your scroll. And it's meant to be. It doesn't mean that we always follow, but, you know, God is very good at getting us where we need to be, right? You know, in Esther 4:14, it says that God has placed you and positioned you here for such a time as this. And so that's kind of what I'm talking about. Now, this first verse I'm going to read to you, it sounds really negative, but I'm going to put a spin on it, okay? So just hang in there, all right? And in 1 Timothy 3, it says, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be difficult times, for people will love themselves, love their money, they will be boastful, pride, scoffful, disobedient, ungrateful, they will consider nothing sacred, they will be unloving, unforgiving, they will slander others, have no self-control, they will be cruel, and hate what is good." Right? We can kind of see that sometimes, right? But the good news is Romans 5:20 says, "Where sin abounds, God's grace does much more abound," right? So that's the good news, because he has equipped us. And what we got to remember is what we focus on, we give power to. Would you agree? So if we focus on the negative and all the chaos that's going on and all the things, we can easily start walking in fear and doubt and start worrying about our future. And really, when you think about it, God has given us an imagination. Would you believe that's one of his gifts, right? I mean, he's given us the ability to imagine. But what is worry? Worry is imagination gone wrong. It's imagination in the negative. I think during this time, God wants to teach us how to use our imagination a whole lot differently than we have in the past. I am convinced that God is raising up a group of people, many in this room, who believe that they desire to have intimacy with God and know him and the Trinity in a great personal way. And when we do that, the Bible promises that we become a shining light, a beacon of light. Isn't that what it says in Isaiah 60? It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." It says, "There'll be a gross darkness cover the earth, but the light of Christ that's within you will grow brighter and brighter." And it goes on to say that people from all nations will come to the shining that's within you. It says that kings will come to sit and learn at the feet, I believe, of the church, of the people, because we are the church, the ecclesia, the chosen ones, will come to learn. How do you do this? How do you walk in this confidence, in this power, right? I believe that's what the time that we're heading. But how does this happen? It just doesn't happen, right? It could be our desire and God's desire, but I believe there are some steps that we can take to make sure that we become the shining ones. The shining ones. First of all, is we have to know what Jesus did for us. Now, ever since y'all first heard the message, you probably heard, well, Jesus came and he lived a spotless life, right? He died on the cross for our sins. He rose again. Now he's seated in heaven. That's the general. But I think what's more important, and I'm just going to read this verse real quick, Romans 5:15. Now, there is no comparison between Adam's transgressions, his screw-ups, basically, and the gracious gift that we have experienced through Jesus. For the magnitude of this gift outweighs the crime. It's true that many die because of one man's sin and transgressions, but how much greater God's grace and his gracious gift of acceptance overflows in us because of what Jesus did for us. Death once held us in this grip by the blunder of one man, but now how much more are we held in the grip of grace and power and continue reigning as kings in life, enjoying our freedom of righteousness? How much is that all now more available because of our co-inclusion in Christ and who we are in him? I'm in him, he's in me, and all is well. Jesus didn't just die for us. He died as us. Well, bury that old man in sin, that's done. He didn't just rise for us. He rose again as us, clothed in the power, the very same power that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in us. It lives inside of us, that very same power. I believe that Jesus came to restore back everything that was stolen, right? The veil of separation is gone. Aren't you glad we don't have to do animal sacrifices? Boy, that would suck. And we can now approach the throne room boldly and make our requests known. I want to say it again. We can approach the throne of God boldly and make our requests known. I believe that Jesus basically came to restore all that was taken from us through Adam's fall, so that he can restore humanity back to their pre-fallen state. Right? Jesus is our prototype. We always say that. He's our example. If you want to know how to live, look at Jesus. Right? He knew how to hang with the Father, even while he walked on earth. Right? This just wasn't when he was in heaven, chilling with the Father, all is good. This is why he came to earth. While he was on earth, he learned how to hang with the Father, get his perspective, see what he was saying, and come and present that to the people. That should be our job, going to the Father, getting his perspective, and then come and bringing that to the people. What's Father God saying? What's he doing? What's he wanting to do? Colossians 3:1 says, relocate yourself mentally. Engage your thoughts with throne room realities where you are co-seated with Christ. Become acquainted with throne room thoughts. This will keep you from being distracted by the earthly realm. So that's an invitation, man. Come up here. Hang out. Get my perspective. All right? So that's all that Jesus accomplished, which I think that was pretty awesome, you know. That's why he could say on the cross, it is finished. Because, man, he's saying, I've done everything that was ever needed to be done for these people to walk in life and godliness and be triumphant over every situation in their life. I've done it. If they believe it. I've done it. Now, the second thing we need to know, we know what Jesus did. Okay, yay, God, he's good. But now, what's that mean for us, right? We need to learn who we are now. I mean, completely. You know, we're not lowly worms saved by the grace of God just to struggle along and then die and go to heaven. I think life is a lot more than that. A lot more. A lot more. I think we need to learn and do a shift here, because it's not so much about what we're doing that makes us Christians or victorious or whatever. It's not about what we're doing necessarily, because we got the cart before the horse, as my daddy used to say. It's about what we are becoming. And the Bible says that we start becoming what we are beholding. So what are we beholding? You know, what's in front of us? What are we beholding? And there's even been times in our lives where I believe that God so much doesn't want you being a human being a human doing, but a human being, that there are times where he'll take away some of the doing just because he's jealous for you to learn who you are. Right? He wants you to behold him so you can become like him. Jesus became like man so that man could become like Jesus. Isn't that powerful? So it's learning who we are. It's not just for us, obviously. In Romans 8:19, it says, creation is standing on tiptoe with held breath, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. I think all creation is longing for us to step up and be what God has created us to be, to flow in his DNA here on this earth, to govern the weather, if so need to be, to save lives, to do what he has given us the power. Because didn't he say when he went to heaven that he's given us the authority now? He's restored it back to us. Anyone unfolded in Christ becomes an entirely new person, right? We are a new creation in Christ. That word in the Greek is kainos, which means a totally different thing, a totally different thing. I heard someone say, it's not like when we go to Verizon and get the newest version of the same thing. It becomes an entirely new thing. I'm a new person. I'm a new creation in Christ. We must get to the point where we so identify that we are a child of God in both power and his love that nothing becomes impossible. Through God, nothing becomes impossible. I want to just give you a few examples of people that really knew who they were in the Bible. And my opinion is some of these people was alive even before Jesus came. So if they can walk in this kind of power, communication with God in victory, how much more, right? Enoch walked with God. And the Bible says he was not, for God took him. I remember my dad was a pastor, and that was my favorite sermon he ever spoke. Because my dad has such a heart for God, and talking with God, and having that intimate relationship. And I remember him walking down the aisle of this old church, and he says, one day Jesus and God were just hanging out and talking and enjoying each other so much. And Jesus just says, Enoch, why don't you just come home with me? You know, and I think about that kind of intimacy, I'm like, wow, that was really cool. But, you know, Enoch, while he was here on this earth, he really, I think a lot of times, was bilocated. He was seeing things in heaven, talking with Jesus, knowing what God was saying, functioning here on earth, a lot like Jesus, a lot like we're supposed to be, so much so that a lot of times he was instantly translated to different places on the earth in a second. Wouldn't that be nice, Jenny, just skip the plane and just say, let's just get to Taiwan. It's like, right now, God. You know, I did hear about a man who, he had a call in his life to go to China. He didn't know what to do and really didn't have a lot of money, and he felt it was quite urgent. And so God said, pack your bag. So he packed his bag. He said, now go to the airport. So he walked around this airport, and he's like, what in the world? Nothing's happening. God says, I want you to go into the bathroom stall. It was one of those private ones, like a family one. He went into one. He goes, I want you to pray in the Holy Spirit for 30 minutes. And I'll tell you what to do beyond that. So he plugged into God, was praying in 30 minutes. He goes, okay, open the door. And when he opened the door, he was in China airport. And he was able to accomplish everything God told him to do. That's how we're supposed to be living. Now, wouldn't that be fun? That'd be awesome. Christianity is supposed to be the most exciting, powerful life ever, right? So Enoch, he was translated from different locations. He was able to foretell the future. You know, there's even a book of Enoch. And yes, it was in the Dead Sea Scrolls, but it was not added to our Bible. But it says right in that first part of the Bible, it says that in the book of Enoch, that this book was saved for later times. And I believe that's the time of what we're living in. He talks about a lot about what's going on. It's pretty interesting. The Ethiopian Book of Enoch, if you want an interesting read. Isaiah, he could see into the future before he told Christ life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his crucifixion, right? He was able to see into the future. He knew what to do. He was actually like a time traveler. Because, you know, a lot of times he talks about what was happening in the past. Well, he wasn't there. What's happening in the future? He had that kind of intimacy with God, that God was giving him insights. Now, Elijah, oh my gosh, Elijah, he's like one of my favorite. Matter of fact, my son's middle name is Elijah. My grandson's name is Elijah. He was my favorite person. This is who you were named after. Man, many miracles happened through Elijah. I mean, he was very powerful. He called fire from heaven. That's pretty cool, right? You know, many people have done that. He outran chariots. Can you imagine? You know, he was translated to different locations, another one, to minister. He had actual animals come and feed him, you know, and there's a lot of saints that have had experiences like this in the past. Now he's taken away in a whirlwind. That's pretty cool, too. He didn't see death. Philip, these are only a few, you know, like it would take me days to talk about all the people that, you know, not, you know, also just people even in our recent, I mean, there's just a lot of people that are experiencing supernatural things. Philip, you know, he was sent to baptize the eunuch, and then, boom, he's translated 13 miles. He done his job, got this guy saved, baptized, and boom, then he was translated 13 miles away. God had other things for him to do. We don't know what was there 13 miles away, but must have been important. Right? And John, man, they couldn't kill John. Think about it. How many times was the guy supposed to die and he couldn't die, you couldn't kill him? You might say that John was immortal until God decided, well, it's just time. Right? So finally they didn't know what to do, so they stuck him out on a desert island, I mean, away from everybody, and then he just has these amazingly heavenly encounters. And we get revelation. I mean, it's just amazing, right? You think about Paul. Think about Paul. He was, the whole city came out and stoned him. Now, even a small city, what do you call a small city? 500 people? Think about it. If you've been plummeted with 500 stones, there's not much left of you, wouldn't you say? I mean, he was, everything was broken, crushed, and smushed, probably unrecognizable. So they drag him out of the city, and leave him there. Some saints gather around him, and even doesn't even say at this time they were praying. I'm sure they're looking at him saying, oh my gosh, is this Paul? You couldn't even tell. And Paul totally was restored. Can you imagine watching that? Think about it. Your skull popping back, eyes popping back in, bones cracking and moving into a form, complete body. Standing tall and whole, and he walked back in the city on the trail of blood that they just walked him out on. Think about that. Now that's powerful. Think about, okay, he was shipwrecked, but it was pretty cool because God at least met with him the night before and said, hey, you're going to be shipwrecked, but none of you are all going to, you're all going to survive. So he gets up and he's building a fire, probably to keep his crew warm. The snake bites him on the hand. It's a poisonous snake. And all the people standing around from that island are like, he's going to die. He's got bad luck. What a rough day. I mean, you get shipwrecked, and now you get bit by the poisonous snake that everybody's terrified of on that island. He just shook it off, and he was fine. So then people say, well, maybe. He's like, God, I mean, maybe. And then gave him an open door to tell him about the God he does serve. And it says that whole island came to know Jesus, and then he prayed for their healing, and everyone got healed. Pretty amazing. I don't know about you, but I'm impressed. Right? What would life look like if you and I took the limitations off and really began to see who we were in Christ? Right? Unlimited resources. Unlimited power and wisdom that Jesus has given us, knowledge to know him in a greater way. So then the third thing that I think, okay, we know, we got to know about Jesus, we got to know about who we are now, Now we got to be totally immersed in his unconditional love. And this happens through intimacy and encounters with him, right? Because how many knows as you walk through this earth, things can hurt. And they stick to you if you let them, right? I mean, even if you don't want them to, they can. But when you decide that I am going to see my Lord, I am going to feel his love, and, you know, we need to hang with Jesus. My mom always says, you become like who you hang with, girl. I can tell you've been hanging around Roberta today, you know, because I'd be about to. But anyway, you become like who you hang with. And so if you hang with Jesus, that's, or picture yourself just crawling up in the lap of Father God and just letting him love every hurt out of your life. It can happen. It can happen. It's so freeing. We need to learn how to do this, how to go to God, and how to use our God-given imagination for good instead of bad. Seeing those things, allowing him to minister. You know what happens when we become free like that? We lose our performance mentality. We lose our fear of man, fear of rejection. So many things change in our life. We become just free to be who he's created us to be. And know that it's okay if it's different than other people, because that's how he's created you. I don't have to compare myself to anybody, you know, other than Jesus. Right? I want to be like him. He's my roadmap. So it's really important to know who you are, and we only find that through being intimate with him and discovering his love for us. You know, I think I'm a little bit of a radical, rebellious little thing, but I truly believe that almost every altar call, every prayer line should be, who wants to experience a hug from Father God today? Who wants to be reminded of who you are? Come up.
Here we are.
Right? Because we think about it, too, when we've been spending time with God, he's in us, we're in him. People should feel like they're getting a hug from Father when they run into us. Right? Plus, he's equipped us with the gift of discernment, with power, wisdom, knowledge. We have got a healing arsenal inside of us to heal those that are hurting through the power and the love of God that we've experienced, right? So, pretty powerful. The fourth thing, I'll be wrapping up here, y'all just hang with me, is we got to be open to the new ways that God might be moving during this time. You know, well, in Philippians 3, it says, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth to what's ahead. And, you know, a lot of people back in Jesus' day missed their day of visitation because Jesus didn't come wrapped up in the package that they thought he was supposed to, right? The very ones that should have received him with joy was the ones that didn't. And I just don't want to miss the day of his visitation. I don't want to miss what he's doing right now. I don't want to be hindered by anything other than what he wants to do. And an example, you know, Abraham, which blows my mind because the Lord says to him, I want you to pick up your wife. I just want you to leave your family, mom and dad, leave this land, leave everything that you've ever known, everything. Just leave it all and go to a land that I'll send you. I'll tell you. Every day I'll just kind of lead you, tell you where you go. And all this trust was built on just one little promise that I will make your seed, your inheritance, like the number of stars in the sky, which just seems totally crazy too, right? But he picked it all up. He left it all behind because nothing was more important than to be exactly where God wanted him to be. And that should be our heart's desire, right? We want to be where you want us to be. You know, about 9 years ago, I just want to bring this down to a personal level. Don and I had become really discontent with Christianity, per se, and church. And we were like, God, we know there's more. There's more. There's more. There's got to be more. I read what you did in the Bible. I read how certain people, if you get a book on some of the old mystic saints and how they walked with God and the things they accomplished, you're like, oh my God. You know? God, there's got to be more than this. And about that time, it's funny how people use people. You know, you never know. You might just think it's your idea, but it's not your idea. Somebody that we hadn't seen for a while sent us some teaching of a couple of different people. And Don and I, we listened to it. And as I'm listening to it, because we listened first separately, because, you know, I'm during the day doing my thing, he's at work. But, man, my spirit started to, like, almost vibrate. This is it, this is it, this is it. So I'm like, well, we'll see what Don has to say about this. So we sit down and listen, and he's like, this is it, this is it. And I'm like, yep, it is. And so it was just confirmation. So what Don and I kind of started to do was to a completely different journey, but Don would always go up at night and take a shower while I was finishing up doing whatever, because, you know, I move all the time. Even in my sleep, I just move. I just move all the time. I don't know. But anyway, it's the way God created me, I guess, right? So it's okay. But anyway, he would go up and get a shower and be sitting there playing his guitar, listening to worship music when I came up. He'd wait for me to get my PJs on, wash my face. He's very patient. And then we would just go into the presence of God because we were so hungry and desperate for whatever he wanted to give us every night. And we've told you how that experience had taken us through some very difficult times, gave us some encounters with God that actually caused us to get through that, that I don't know if we could at times before. And we just started immersing ourselves. You know what we did? We said, okay, God, we give you permission. We got the Mirror Bible. We said, because it's a lot of the Greek in it is just, sometimes the English language just can't word it like it's supposed to be, you know? And so we just started diving into the Mirror Bible and saying, God, we want you, we give you permission to teach us your ways. Not what we've learned from our folks, even though we love what we got from our folks. We're not dissing it, but we know there's more. We actually started to have faith in God to lead us into all truth more than we had faith in the devil to deceive us from the truth. Right? And how many people don't want to step into something new because, oh, that could be the devil. You know, they got this fear that they're going to be deceived. You have got to trust the Holy Spirit inside of you to know that God will lead you into all truth. And it started us on this journey of just laying before him and meditating and crying out to him and waiting for him to come. And just like I said before, Jesus, where are you in this room? What do you want to say to me today? What are you thinking about me today? What is it? And it's amazing when you open yourself up to that and allow your God-given imagination. Because, you know, sometimes I get this picture. I'm like, oh, this is just my imagination. This isn't real. But then all of a sudden it would take this turn that I wouldn't be expecting. And God would just totally be ministering truth to me like I'd not none other. It's being open. It's like anything we step into of God, especially when it's Spirit, Holy Spirit, it's kind of a step of faith at first. And it's like, oh, this is just me. I don't know if this. But then something happens and it takes control. And it's really changed the way we do life. Now, we don't have all wisdom. We're not flowing in the fullness of everything we want to be. I'm not glowing up here, am I? Not yet. Maybe a little. I'm not, you know what I mean? I haven't raised the dead this week. I haven't, you know, been bilocated. Yeah, I raise the dead every morning when I get my butt out of bed. But no, but, you know, I haven't bilocated or anything like that. But I am open to whatever God wants to do. And I'm not going to put limits on him. I want to be his shining one. You know, and some people, they say, well, you know, they had to translocate in Bible. They didn't have cars and planes, everything that we have. Well, tell that to the 1,000 people that committed suicide this week. Tell that to the 2,500 people that died of a heart attack this week. How powerful would it have been if before they committed suicide, you show up and go, hey, God has a plan for your life, right? Do we believe that nothing is impossible with God? Do we believe that we are to be led by him? Do we believe that if there is a typhoon or an earthquake or something headed somewhere, that we can stand up and say, now, Father God, you've given us power on this earth. And I pray over this, and I command it to leave and not kill or harm anybody in this area. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to be a light and a beacon. I know I'm stretching in. I know you probably think, man, this woman is crazy. But that's okay, because I believe this is where God is leading us. We have put on a new nature in Colossians 3, it says, and he's our creator, and now we're learning how to become just like him. Wow! We want to be just like him. We want to be just like him. No longer limited to our past. No longer limited at all. No longer afraid to try new things. Because you know what? Jesus is so fun. And he's so easygoing and just a joy to be around. And he doesn't care if you make mistakes. It really doesn't affect him at all. It doesn't wreck his day at all. He just is really quite happy that you're trying. Really, he is. You know, it's amazing. He's that kind of guy. And so it's okay to try new things. It's okay to try new things and fail. And can I say that how many would agree that this is a pretty safe place, right? I look around and everybody in here I know knows how to love. I know pretty safe people. What a great place for us to learn, to start growing in his gifts, to flow in the Holy Spirit. Because if you won't do it here, I guarantee you ain't going to do it out there probably, you know. We've got to have a place that's safe to practice. Yes, you have to practice the presence of God. You have to. It's learning how to do that. I know there was like 3 weeks ago, I was sitting right after worship. Well, it kind of started during worship, but then I was sitting out there. Man, I had this super, super bad pain in my head. It was going to my right eye and my ear. I'm like, what the heck is this? But I was praying about it. And basically, when I got out of church, I felt like God saying, that was me trying to tell you someone was suffering with pain that day. And you should have got up and spoken that out so they could have received healing. Well, you know what? We need, as the body of Christ, to learn how to start flowing in some of these things that he has for us. It's a safe place to practice here. It's a safe place. We have to be willing, though, to let go of wrong theology or anything that is pressed us and away from the things of God. We have to be willing to be okay with changing our mind about some things. Okay? We have to be okay with thinking, well, I think I was wrong about that. Right? God, what do you want to do? And I just want to tell you, I'm just going to conclude with this. I believe that we are living in the most exciting time in history. Scary to some degree, but very exciting. Because Jesus wants to explode inside of his people. He wants to equip us with everything that we need for every situation. He's much bigger than we thought. And we're much bigger than we thought. We were designed for this time. You know, you all know I have like a lot of kids. And I have to say, that it was like a whole different generation with the first ones. You know, I raised kids for 40 years almost, you know. And some of this newer generation, they were driving me crazy because there's something different in them. And so, there's something within some of them to go against the flow. And I think that's okay. I think it's okay. Because God is raising us up to go against the flow. And it's okay to be different. It's okay not to say, you know, I was taught by whatever my mom and dad said, yes, yes, okay, okay. Even though I will say I was challenging to my parents. I'm like, just show me scripture and verse and I won't do it. Just show me scripture and verse, I won't do it. You know, can't go to movies, you can't go to dances, you can't have fun in life because that might lead to sin, you know. But I was raised very legalistic, can you tell? I am not resentful of that at all because they done the best they could. And my dad was very gracious. So he gave me permission to question, which I'm thankful for. But we're living in an exciting time. We gotta stop believing the lies of limitation and inadequacy. A sin. Yep, I'm going to use the word, a sin. Get to know who God and Jesus are, face to face. He's given us an invitation to do that. There's nothing to fear. Stop looking for an escape out of this world. The only way we can experience it is if we die. No. God says we go from glory to glory to glory till, oh, we're here, right? I am determined to leave nothing behind that's written in my scroll. I want to do it, God. I want to do it all. And watch how the Trinity, watch how God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, what they accomplish inside of you. So, can we start that song? We're just going to listen to a song real quick. And then what I'd like you all to do, and it may seem weird, but this is how we do it. And then it becomes not so weird if you keep doing it. All right? I just want you.